2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Well, that's a concise little saying, isn't it? For we walk by faith and not by sight. How many of you know that that's where the battle is? We walk by faith and not by sight. Just what we've been talking about in the economic situation. If you walk by sight, you're in trouble. I remember years ago, a man by the name, I think his name was Willard Cantillon. He was an Assembly of God executive, wrote a book, The Day the Dollar Dies. The Day the Dollar Dies. You know that it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. This dollar cannot continue. In fact, right now it has a lot less power than it used to have. It's a lot less respected around the world than it used to be. If you walk by sight, you know, there's nothing to do but tremble. If you walk by sight, you're in trouble. But if you walk by faith, and if you listen to the Word of God, and this is what I want to talk to you about today. We've been talking about getting our mind over into that realm of walking in the Spirit. Getting our mind renewed. Our souls renewed. Amen? Getting the natural man to where it serves. This is what God designed your natural man to do. To serve your spirit man. God says, I'm going to make him in my likeness and my image. And so he made us, and we have, I believe, a shape like God has. God has a face. God has back parts. God has hands and arms. I know he does because the Bible says his arm isn't shortened. It says no man can see his face and live. So I know God has a shape. But he made us nevertheless in that likeness. And Jesus said, but God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God gave you a spirit. Made you, let's not say he gave you, he made you a spirit. He made you a spirit, what for what reason? To worship him. Yeah, for that purpose. God wanted to make us as ones that could worship him. And that the only way you can worship God is in spirit and in truth. But then he gave you a soul. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your conscience, your imagination. He gave you that part of your entity to relate to other people. Right? But what has happened is we have taken and given it a place of preeminence in our life instead of the spirit man. And so what we train, what we think, what we do is all about the soulish realm. Then he also gave you a place to house all of it, and that's called your body. Or as Charles Capps called it. By the way, did you know Charles Capps went home to the Lord?
No.
He moved home, yeah. He moved home. He told somebody on Friday, says, I'm going home in a couple days. And on Sunday, he went to be with Jesus.
Wow. What a good way to have
it. Isn't that a nice way to go? Nobody was upset. They all knew Charles was going home. You guys know Charles Capps? Have you ever? He has a wonderful book we've studied around here a couple times called Faith and Confession. Faith and Confession. Anyhow, Charles went home to be with the Lord, but he called our body our earth suit. It's your suit that you wear down here, and it helps you to relate with other people. Amen? So it works good. But it shouldn't be in number one place. And yet, when you hear people talk about it, what do they usually say? They usually talk about their body, soul, and spirit. I hear people all the time think they're even quoting Scripture talking about their body, soul, and spirit. But the Scripture talks about your spirit, soul, and body. And I believe God does things with a plan. Number one is what he says first, spirit. You are a spirit. God is a spirit. You were made to worship him. You were made like him in his likeness and in his image. But you have a soul so that you can function in this world. And that soul was made to serve the spirit part of you. But when it's gotten the way it has in our way of living, the way the natural man lives, it's in control. The soul controls us. What you think controls you. Did you know that? What you think about things controls you. Right or wrong? Mm-hmm. So you need to get that part of you fixed. Mm-hmm. And that's this whole thing here. For we walk by faith. Faith is spiritual. It's spiritual. It doesn't have to do with the five senses or the soulish thinking. It has to do with what? With what? What the word or what your father says about things. It's about Torah. We talk about Torah generally as the first five books, but let me tell you today that Torah are 66 books of the scripture. It's all of the Bible is God's teaching and instruction to us. And if you want to know how to walk, say walk.
Walk.
Hebrew word for walk is, you know what it is? Halak.
Halak, yes.
Halak. And the Jews have a, this, you know, there's a lot of, by the way, we're not trying to teach anybody to become a Jew. I don't want anybody to think they come in here that we're trying to be Jewish. We're trying to do that. We're taking what we believe is biblical from the Torah, and we're teaching that. And recognizing that we have been neglecting much of the foundation. We have a foundation, and that foundation's in Torah. We've been grafted in to the commonwealth of Israel. Israel's covenant came right out of Torah. We've been grafted into that. It's important for us to know it. And if you'll receive this, the Torah is revealed by what Yeshua taught us. That's where the revelation of it came from, right? And furthermore, the new covenant is hidden in there. It's concealed in there.
It isn't even a new covenant. It's more like a
renewed covenant. That's the better word. Barith Hadashah means renewed covenant. And the fact is that if you look at all of the covenants of God, from the Edenic covenant, the Noahic covenant, or the Adamic, the Noahic, the Abrahamic, you know, coming right along, you come, and they just keep getting better and better and better and better. But it's kind of like a cone until you come to the place of the better covenant established upon better promises than these. It's the ultimate. That's where we are today. We're living under that. But, it, you know, God could never go back on anything he said, could he? No, because that would be a lie, and God does not lie. He cannot. He cannot lie. So when we say something's been done away, what has happened is it's been fulfilled or filled to the full, right? It hasn't actually been done away. It's been filled up. And that's what we need to understand here. So we looked in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 as we were talking about this area. And we read out of God's Word translation where it says, "Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you'll always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect." So that what we're doing is we're teaching our ears to hear with the Spirit of God, to hear what the Word says. How do you do that?
You have to know what's in the Word.
By what?
You have to know what's in the Word to be able to hear if it's God speaking or if it's Satan speaking to you.
So we've got to have a focus in life, don't we?
Yes.
And that focus has got to be on the Word of God, because we know from the Scripture, just all the Scriptures that everybody knows, that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God, right? Mm-hmm. And because we recognize that that is said so quickly most of the time, we take some time with it a lot of times and we say it like this. Faith comes by hearing and
hearing
and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It just keeps, you see, you never outgrow the need to hear. You always need to be hearing. And even those things that you have heard can slip. But if you're hearing continually, you don't let them slip, do you? How many of you have had that experience? You've known something well in the Word, and all of a sudden you realize, I don't know how I let that go. I let go on that promise. I haven't been walking in that at all. Mm-hmm. Well, it's because you haven't been hearing it. Because when you hear it and hear it and hear it, and that's why we talk about reading the scripture through. And, I'm telling you, I've gone through years and years and years of reading through the scripture. At least one time a year. And then you begin to think about it. What are you doing? Sometimes I found myself racing through the Word of God.
You mean the end? I got to get through it. Yes.
Especially what's that? Leviticus and Deuteronomy.
Yeah, at least through Chronicles and Leviticus. No, I find myself reading even the epistles. And I tell you, my old Bible, the epistles were just worn out in it. Worn out more than any place else. Now, I'm starting to get some even wear. Starting to have some even wear. My Bible doesn't wear too much anymore because I read a lot on the computer. And it doesn't wear so much. It just gets glitches. Isn't that right? But the fact is, if you're hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, you'll remember. It stays with you. It stays with you, and it changes the way you think. Right? Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, I look back at some of the dumb things I used to think, and I think, how could I ever have thought those things? But the fact is, if it hadn't been for the Word of God, I'd still think those things today. Right. I'd still be like that today. I mean, I remember making some dumb, dumb statements. Did any of you ever make a dumb statement? Even after, especially after I became a Christian, I made some terribly dumb statements. I thought, boy, I've got it all now. I read John. I know it all, But you know what? There's a lot to learn. And you learn it by going over and over and over. And you don't treat God casually. Amen. But you see, we found out that as a soulish man, what does a soulish man want?
What he wants.
Yeah, what he wants, what he wants. And when does he want it?
Now.
The soulish man wants things now. He wants them the way he wants them. The soulish man has to feel, doesn't he? There has to be a feeling to satisfy him. Soulish, to feel. But you see, in the Scripture says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed," in Romans 1:17, "revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And what do we know about faith?
Substance of things that we can't see.
That's right. It's something that you can't see with your natural eyes. Because faith that is seen is no longer faith, is it? Once you see something and know something, I don't have faith that there's a chair there. I can see it. Now, there are chairs that you have faith to sit in. We noticed that the legs were getting loose on ours. But this one's fine, But faith is not knowing except by what the Word that says it. And that is the knowing that's above all other knowing. If you can come to this. And we talked about it in the realm of salvation. How do you know you're saved? By the way, how many are saved here? Could I see the hands of those that are saved? It's unanimous. How many places can you go and have a unanimous
anything?
Not many. We're saved. How do you know you're saved?
Because the Bible tells me so.
The Bible says you're saved. What did you do that brought you into a place where you felt that you could claim what the Bible says?
I had to read it first.
You read it? So what
faith.
You did, what?
Faith.
Faith. You had faith in it. You had faith in what the Word says. And the Word says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe that means Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, that He's God, and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you what?
Thou shalt be saved.
Thou shalt be what?
Saved.
I'm saved. Hey. Saved. How many of you, that's the way you came in, was by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Does anybody need to have that refreshed today? Because it can, sometimes people might say, that was a part I never really got into. No, that's the way we really get saved.
But Terry, most of us heard it.
It's what?
Most of us heard it. It wasn't like we picked up the Bible and read it. Most of us heard it from somebody
That's
else,
right.
from a preacher or a grandma.
That's right.
Or, you know, and it's that hearing that sparks.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. By the way, I know that you understand what we're doing here because you've spoken back at me a little bit, but that's exactly what we want in our times here. We call it Midrash. Dirash in Hebrew means to study, but Midrash is when we just get it between us and we talk about the Word and we bring it up, and teaching comes forth from different parts of the body is where the teaching comes forth. So it's fine to do that. What is your first name? I never did get it.
My name is Eric, and this is my wife, Beverly.
Eric and Beverly. Everybody say,
Welcome.
Hi, Eric and Beverly. Amen. We're glad you guys are here today. And,
we're blessed.
I'm so glad. Well, I'm so glad you came, and just to see you come in and join in and be a part of what we're doing here. Some people would say, well, this is more like a Sunday school class. Well, that's good. If we're getting the teaching across to people, and that's what we want to do. I don't want to be a lecturer unless God gives me a lecture. What the Lord has given me is teachings. And so I want that to be that way as we come together today. And I want you, in doing this, to look with me now, because we're talking about taking the Word of God and how it molds our whole process of thinking, the way we think, so that we get molded into, and what does the Bible say will happen to us? The Bible says, whom He did foreknow, them He did also predestined to what? To become conformed to the image of His Son, Yeshua. That's the plan of God. God did not save a bunch of people just to keep them out of hell. Now, I want you out of hell, don't get me wrong. But that's not His primary reason for saving you. His reason for saving you was to mold you into something special and show in the earth something powerful and mighty. His people having dominion in an earth that He made for them. Amen? That's the plan. And that's the whole reason we do what we do. So in Colossians, I was reading through this last week. As a matter of fact, that was our section that we read through in the Berit HaRashah, in the Renewed Covenant last week. And in Colossians 1:3, we notice that Paul, after his greeting, says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." That was the way Paul dealt with the churches that he was the apostle over. He gave thanks to God for them, and he prayed for them. And here's what he prayed for them. We'll go down to verse 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day that we heard it," heard about your love for God and your faith in Him, "we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will." Let's take that apart. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. I just talked to you about a little bit of His will. How many of you would say that's been something that you've generally had in your understanding always, or is it something really new, relatively new? That God really has a plan for you that has to do with you being in dominion on this earth. Is that something you've always pretty well known? Has that been part of Christianity since you were born again?
No.
I don't think most people have that. I believe that most Christians have the attitude that I'm saved and I'm just hanging on and hoping I make it till Jesus comes. Unless you're a Baptist, and then you know that you got to make it because you... No, I'm not being mean either.
It was drilled into your head.
No, we just got the attitude that we just have to keep plugging and keep trying.
Endure.
And there's a place for all of that, don't get me wrong, but that's not our primary place. That's not our primary place. He says, "I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Say spiritual understanding.
Spiritual understanding.
Why do you suppose He said spiritual understanding?
As opposed to fleshly understanding.
As opposed to, did you know there is a large gamut of fleshly understanding around? The wisdom of this world, it's in every area. And it permeates and slips into the church all the time. It gets in. We listen to those little statements and we begin to believe them.
Well, I mean, how often do you talk to somebody and you're just quoting what God says? Well, that's not what I believe. And it could be a Christian, it could be a non-Christian, but they put what they think
absolutely
above.
Absolutely. I was talking with someone that they're no longer in this world. They've gone to heaven, praise God. They were born again. But I remember talking to them about it after they got in, that, you know, when you would talk about something, you'd say, well, now, you know, just bring up something about the Word. And the Word says, well, you know, I thought about that, but this is the way I think about that. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting that somebody would even use a but in talking about God's Word, but we do it all the time. Our attitudes are that way so many times that we are based upon what we've experienced and what we think about things rather than what God says about them. And this is what God, Paul is praying will be changed.
Amen.
That you'll have a knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that, I put the so in there, but I believe that's exactly what he's saying, so that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So where are we today? Have we arrived?
No, we're increasing.
We're being strengthened, but we're increasing. Strengthened with all might, verse 11, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering. There is endurance there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
With what?
Joyfulness.
With joy. With joyfulness. Giving, by the way, I don't know how many of you have read this view through a number of times, but I kind of see this like being out in the water, this scripture. You're out in the water and you see this little wave coming. And I, by the way, I've never done this because I don't know how to do it. But I've always thought this would be kind of fun to do. You see this little wave coming and you got this board and you start paddling with it, you know, and you paddle and paddle and the wave starts catching you and pretty soon it just starts rising up and you stand up and you're on the board and you're right up on top of it, and that's the way the scripture does. You just get to a crescendo as you read this. Have you ever noticed that in Colossians 1? It just gets higher and higher and higher. And that's what Paul's doing as he's praying for these people and he's talking to them here. He said, I've been praying for you so that you could walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience with long suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness and sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He's before all things. And by Him all things consist, and He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made, here the waves starting to settle, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. Enemies where? In your mind?
Yes.
You mean you've been an enemy of God in your mind?
Yeah.
Some people still are.
Enemy of ourselves too.
What?
Enemy of ourselves.
That's right. That's right.
We talked about this morning. I lift up my soul to you. I won't lift it up to another. David talked about that. I lift my soul up to you. Don't let my enemies triumph over me. If we're lifting those things up to Him in the Spirit, then that those enemies, whether they're in here or out here,
that's right,
can't triumph.
That's right. Amen. That's good. That's good. Battlefield's right up there, isn't it?
Exactly.
That's where it is. Enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. By the way, you're going to see reconciled a lot if you read Colossians, right? In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if
you continue in your faith.
If What is it? If you continue in the faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Does that mean that you might start walking by sight again once you've been walking in faith?
There is that possibility.
Not only a possibility,
it is a
design of the enemy to get you to do it every day.
Right.
Everything is to get you back into that natural realm, looking at the natural things around you, judging things, judging your shalom. Now listen to me. Judging your shalom by what you see. Can you do that? No. How do we know that? Well, Jesus showed us that, didn't he? When the disciples woke him up and said, Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? The water's coming in here. It's about to drown us. We're getting swamped. Wake up! Yeshua said, why did you fear? Why did you fear? Was he ruled by the circumstances? Was there an enemy in his mind? No.
When he said to the waves, Shalom, be still, was he saying it just to the waves, or was he saying it to the idiots who were all panicking and waking him up?
I think whatever could receive it was getting it.
Well, and he also, before they left, too, he didn't say, hey, get in the boat, we're going to go out in the middle and get stuck in a storm and drown.
That's what he didn't
say. He said, get in the boat, we're going to the other side.
That's right, he gave him a word, didn't he?
Yes.
We're going to the other side.
That's right.
It wasn't, you know.
That's right. That's right. But the key is, you got to continue in it. You continue in the faith. Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope. The hope. I love to talk about hope because I think it's been so poorly understood. You know, to me, hope is just so clear. It's tangible. It's tangible. In my mind, hope is the blueprint. And it comes right out of God's Word. It's the plans and purposes of God. I know the thoughts I have to you, says the Lord. Right?
Plans to prosper you and not bring you harm.
Say it loud.
Plans to prosper you and not bring you harm.
That's right. Plans to prosper you. Where does that come from?
Jeremiah 29:11.
Absolutely. Right on. That's where it is. I know the thoughts I have. Did you know that God was saying that to us again this morning? I have good thoughts about you. I care about you. Your problems have been a obstacle to you, but they're not an obstacle to God.
Do you believe me?
Do you believe me? Isn't that what he's saying? That's right.
Yes.
That's right. If you'll continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Does that give you a picture? Grounded and settled. Continuing in God's faith. Grounded. What's a grounded? What's that like? What's that look like to be grounded?
You can't get shocked if you're grounded.
Steady. What's the Hebrew word?
Steady.
Steady.
Steady. Steady.
The Hebrew word for steady is emunah.
Emunah.
Emunah. And emunah is the word that we would use for faith. In fact, it's used in the older covenant for faith often. Emunah. Faith. But it doesn't just mean what you believe up here. It means that which grounds you. That which makes you steady. That which causes you to be firm. Asherei ha'ish asher lach lo halak ba'atzat resha'i. Know what that means?
Oh, the blessings of the man who does not walk according to the counsel of ungodly people or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the wicked, but his delight is in the Torah of Yahweh, and in his Torah he meditates day and night.
Amen. 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 And he will be like a
tree
planted, rooted, grounded, by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper.
Amen.
Amen. That's us. If you continue, continuing is being steady. staying, just refusing to move.
Mm-hmm. Trust.
Trust. That's right. That's what trust is. Trust is a grounding. That's the word. Trust. Trust. Why do we trust? Because God is trustworthy. We can trust Him because He's trustworthy. His word is trustworthy. God's word never, ever fails.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is.
That's right.
He will be a tree planted by the waters.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Amen. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved. Say, I'll not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved.
Be moved.
Did you know you have the power in your mouth to make that determination?
Yes.
And as you speak it and believe it in your heart, believe me, all the powers of darkness cannot move you. You can't be moved. This is why Colossians is so powerful in this area. What Paul was teaching these people was exactly what we've been talking about, only he was talking to them about doing it a step at a time, and the things that you do and the things that you think on day by day. He said, don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I'm going to skip 24 and just jump to 25. He says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Say, fulfill the word of God. How many of you believe that's what he's praying for here? That's the prayer. He's building his prayer up, and that's the thing he wants to happen, is that we fulfill the word of God. And then he says, even the mystery. How many of you think the part of the word of God seems mysterious?
Oh yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of sowed, isn't there? A lot of sowed in the word of God. Sowed is that part which is hidden. There's some mysterious parts, but Paul says here's a mystery that's about to be revealed. He said, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now, say now.
Now.
That means if it was now then, it's definitely now, right?
Yes.
Right, it's still now. It's made manifest to whom?
Saints.
His saints. Who's a saint here?
We are.
Could I see the saints?
We are.
Yep. That's right, we're saints. And every saint's a minister. Amen? You see that up on the beam? It's up there to remind you who you are. You're a minister. To whom God would make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is that mystery?
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Christ in us, the hope. Now, what is hope again? What is hope? No. It is, but hope is that blueprint, that revealed blueprint in the Word of God, that God's plan is for you, and Christ in us is the assurance. See, it's an assurance. God wouldn't give us a blueprint He's not going to build on, would He? It's a blueprint. He's going to bring us to this place. Them He did foreknow, them He did also predestinate to become conformed to the image of His Son. This is a high calling I'm talking about, people.
It's hard to hang on to it.
It is.
Like Jeremiah 29, Israel's in exile.
That's right.
But He had a promise.
That's
right.
That's
why that verse is so prominent. But He says, in that place of exile, multiply. Plant your garden. Plant your crops. Harvest. Don't be dormant.
That's right.
So wherever you're at, you need to be actively pursuing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's an important part of this, too. That what you see around you cannot affect what you believe. You have to continue to trust and believe regardless of what you see. There was a place in Jeremiah, by the way, we just read it yesterday for the Haftarah reading. Did you happen to go through the Haftarah reading yesterday? Haftarah is a portion of Scripture that goes along with Torah, the portion reading. And in that portion yesterday, Jeremiah said his cousin came to him and said, I want you to buy some ground that belongs to me. You're the kinsman redeemer. You have the right to redeem it. And Jeremiah, the Lord actually told Jeremiah this first. And then here comes the cousin and tells him, that's exactly what I want you to do. So Jeremiah's like the rest of us. He said, and when my cousin came, then I knew that was the word that Adonai had spoken. When the cousin came, then I recognized that it had to really be God. And so God tells him, go ahead and buy the ground. So he buys it, but what time is it? It's the same time. The Kazdim, the Chaldeans, have come in and they're taking everything. They're taking over everything. And this guy is buying property during that time. And God spoke to him and said, I want you to know that just as sure as you're going into this time of captivity, you will come back. You will come back. And this is my promise to you. This is my blueprint for you. You buy this property today, it's going to be yours. Amen? How many of you know you have an inheritance?
Amen.
You have an inheritance. And no matter what the enemy has tried to do to steal your inheritance, you have an inheritance in the Lord. And God says that what makes that mystery work is that the Messiah is on the inside of you, revealing that blueprint of glory to you. I believe it even indicates that he is not just revealing the hope of it, but he is building on it. Building on it. Now I want to jump over into chapter 2, which of course follows chapter 1, and is just, there's really no break. You understand that? These have been added for our convenience, not because there was a difference in what was going on. And then Paul makes this statement, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and as for many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, in other words, he's saying the same thing about Laodicea, he's saying about Colossae, that I want them to have this same knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should what?
Deceive.
Deceive. What else? Does anybody have anything besides deceive there?
Beguile.
Beguile you with what?
Enticing words.
With what kinds of words?
Persuasive
words, enticing words. I'm going to see if I can bring this up again out of the Complete Jewish Bible real quick. I went to a different place. If some people are so fast in these things, they can get right back where they were going. He says, I say this so that no one will fool you with plausible but specious arguments. Plausible. But specious. Plausible but specious.
So plausible means that there is a element of truth there that you can go, yes, I see that. Right. That's exactly true.
It makes a lot of sense, in other words, doesn't it? You listen to them and you find yourself, if you don't watch out, you're nodding your head wrong. You know, you see it. What do we call that when there's an element of truth? A half-truth is a whole lie. And what does God talk about when he talks about
mingled seed?
Mingled seed. Mingled seed. And does the enemy do that?
All the time. Especially when you want to hear it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. At the most opportune time, right?
Vulnerable.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Right at a time when, you know, you're apt to receive it, then you hear that. It's plausible. It's plausible. If you be the Son of God, make these stones bread. Right? If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. For it is written. Was it written? He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Yeah, it was written. Psalm 91. Yeshua said, yes, it's also written.
Amen.
Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Sometimes you gotta know a lot of word to recognize the mingled word, don't you?
Yes.
And sometimes you don't have to know so much as you just have to listen to your father. And he'll do that. He'll bring a word right up out of the midst of you that you don't even know that you've much more than glanced at. And he'll bring it out if you want it. And I really believe that the enemy has, in his design again, that very purpose is to cause that middle wall of partition to rise up big again so that we don't see one new man. And that's what God wants. He wants the one new man. Is Torah good? Absolutely. It's the ideal. It's perfect. It's perfect. But let me tell you what's not perfect. All of the traditions that have been drug along with the Torah, the Talmud itself is full of them.
Talmud has good too.
It has some good stuff in it, mingled.
Yes.
Some of it's excellent, but there's a mingling, and here's the problem. What you can do with people is you can immediately have them start getting over into a
religious.
It's religion.
Yeah.
It's religion.
It's legalism. Right. It is it's a bondage, and we have watched it happen. Yes.
Talking about the greatest command. Yeah. We are to love God with
That's
all
right.
of it. And what's
right.
the other one that Jesus said? Everything, all the law. All the prophets. It hinges on this. What is it?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
And so, for doing that, he's saying, get away from the religion, get back into the relationship.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
Koinonia.
Okay, so, thank you for saying that, because all of this has been literally spinning around in my head all morning.
Yeah.
Right? So, we're always talking about we're made first as a spirit. And a soul. And we have a body. And you said this morning, we have that spirit, right? And that soul is how we then connect with other people. But what were we told? To love him and to love them. And those first two things that we are to be in the spirit with him, loving him for all we have. And the second thing that we're made with is the soul. To then communicate with others. And then I keep thinking too, just, okay, Jesus said he was going to leave for a while, right? And we had to hang loose until the Holy Spirit came to be there as our comforter and our guide. But then in the same respect, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
So we're never alone. It's him we go to first. It's
That's right.
walking in that faith of, this is what we were made to do.
Absolutely.
And loving him for all that we have. I don't know. It's just everything is...
It all ties back to that always.
Yes.
It always comes back to that one thing. And I think that's what you were talking about earlier, about love.
Yeah.
It's got to be in love.
Yeah. We see too, just to add to that a little bit, is that having the form of godliness but denying the very power thereof.
Right.
So we're not, you were talking about our callings and raising up in our callings. We can't do that if we're denying his power.
No, we can't.
And Paul every time is saying, I don't come in word, I come in power.
That's right.
Because he knew the instruction of the Father to him. You know, and I think that it just brings up this whole question of our identity has been lost today.
Yep.
Of who we are and being secure with that and not to throw another, to go off into that, but that's been on our heart a lot because we feel like we're kind of repairers of the breach in the midst of this Torah movement versus Christianity
sure.
where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
God won't release us from either one. So we're going to a Christian church and we're going to Shabbat dinners and we're like, Lord, what are you doing? And he's like, just love my people. But
yeah.
it's been really hard for us, really hard.
I can see that it would be.
Every Shabbat dinner we find ourselves talking about food and ordinances and, mm-hmm. and holy days and it doesn't profit anything. And it's just, it's aroused a lot of frustration in all of us because we don't see ourselves as the workmanship of the Lord. We see a lot of, just a lot of talk, and it just has been really hard for us,
yeah.
you know.
I am of Paul.
Yeah.
I am of Apollos. I am of Christ. And, all of them are supposed to be
Forever.
The same body.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. That's exactly right. Yes.
Beverly.
When I think the devil is working hard for us to be distracted with all of these insignificant things
true.
That don't matter.
That's true.
To take away from being having the relationship
from the heart.
With the Lord.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's good. And that's always been his plan, to distract. And he does it through, so often, not through the biblical, but through the traditional that comes alongside the attachments. And I could name a bunch of them, you know, headwear, you know, all of the things that go along with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with it until it starts to divide people. Until someone says, well, look what I do. I always wear my tallit when I pray. So what? Where in the Bible does it tell you to wear your tallit when you pray? It doesn't, does it? It's not in there. You know, if you want to wear a tallit, more power to you. Go ahead and do it. It's wonderful. We love the tallit. We think it has tremendous, powerful teaching in it, but not the way it comes up through Talmudic teaching. And that's the problem. That's where we get into, and the tradition comes in. And when people start teaching for tradition, teaching for doctrine, the traditions of men, what happens? Then doctrine gets crowded out always. And we know that there's truth to it. Listen to what this, listen to how Paul kind of sums this up. I'm going to go to verse 6. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him? Was it complicated?
No.
Was it simply through trusting, believing? And yet I asked you that question earlier today. I don't think anybody... How do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Well, you know it because the Word says you are, right? The Word says you're saved.
Faith in that.
You trust it. That's right. And...
We have a deposit slip right here.
That's says, right. You got
it's
it.
It's in my account.
It's in your account. That's exactly right.
In fact, can I
sure, absolutely.
Kim, years ago, we deposited a check in the bank, right? It's the weekend, it's Friday, I got my check, we deposited, did the things you normally do. You go to the grocery store, you get, you know, this, that. Well, what was that? Come Tuesday, they sent us a thing, insufficient funds. So it's like, all right, well, we better go down to the bank and straighten this out. So we go to the bank, who's behind the counter? The girl that took our deposit at the window, you know, Friday or something like that. And said, well, you know, we put this money in on Friday, and I don't show any record of you. No, you didn't. And Kim goes, well, I got the deposit slip right here. And
with your teller number.
The girl goes, where'd you get that? Oops, wrong answer. It was on. She's like, I want to see the manager of this bank. I want to see him right here. I don't want to see the lady's going, well, ma'am, just calm down. I said, get the manager. She's like, I'm going to calm down until he gets on. You know? But it was, I have a deposit slip. I have right here. All these things are within us. Christ, the hope of glory, it's in us. So right. That glory is in us.
That's
all these
right.
Things are in us.
Amen.
It's somewhere in getting that withdrawal slip to bring it out for other people. That's where we stumble. We don't believe that it's all in us. We don't believe that all those things. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And you know, and it's kind of sometimes getting from point A to point B and saying,
yeah,
it's there already. You're right. Not going to lie, you know, the lady said, where'd you get that deposit slip? Like we made it in the basement ourselves. And that was it. That's all it took. You know, she's not always been this calm.
I want to see him right now.
You better get him. And he came off of his little glass closed cubicle. And I know it's there. I know
Amen.
It's mine. And
Amen.
That's kind of the realization that we have to come to.
Right. That's right.
It's all in us.
That's exactly.
And I think that's the mystery that he's talking about,
yep.
too.
Yep, it's here.
It's here.
It's here. It's there. It's finished.
Is seeing it.
That's right.
And applying it, bringing it out.
Right. And so he tells us how, and this is what Complete Jewish says on that verse 7, remain deeply rooted in him, continue being built up in him, and confirmed in your trust the way you were taught, so that you overflow in thanksgiving. Verse 8, watch out. So that no one will take you captive by means of philosophy. Have any of you ever taken a philosophy class?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does philosophy mean? Just literal breakdown of the words.
Literally, the love of wisdom.
Love of wisdom. How many of you have ever been in one of those groups where everybody loved their knowledge and wisdom, and everybody was out doing one another. Nobody listened to anybody. They were just waiting for their opportunity to say, well, love of wisdom. And the Bible says, watch out so that no one will take you captive by means of philosophy and empty deceit. Following human tradition, what was I talking about in the Torah movement that's causing all the problems? It's human tradition. It's always that Jewish part of it. There's a messianic group that actually said, if it comes to a choice between the Bible and the Talmud, we'll take the Talmud. A messianic group said that. How could you do that? How could you even think to do that? But that's what they've done. So someone's been taken captive by these means. And by the way, philosophy, you know, that's a lot of places. I mean, that people have that in a lot of things. What you've learned, what you think you know, what you think is right, what you've studied and you've learned and you picked up on, you know, you'll argue with anybody about it. But the point is, we need what?
It addresses a soul man.
That's exactly right.
It's feeding.
It's exactly right.
And what he's talking about is the spirit. His spirit testifies with our spirit.
And listen to what this says. It says, when we follow these human traditions, they accord with the elemental spirits of the world. The elemental spirits of the world.
It's like Beverly was saying.
That's right. It's the enemy's ploy. The enemy's way of bringing that thing.
Not only is it mingled seed, his ploy, it's things like, oh, well, you're not loving because you don't accept homosexuals or something like that. Well, we don't accept it because God's word says no. So not only is it going to be a thing of where you don't accept it, they're going to use it against us someday.
That's right.
You're closed-minded. You can't, you know, so you're not allowed this privilege, or you're going to jail, or you're, because you don't love these people, they twist it around to say that we hate or we, you know, whatever. And so not only is it going to draw us away from God's word, that thinking, well, we should love everybody. Well, that's the truth. We should.
Sure.
But we don't have to accept the sin.
Right.
But they're going to say, oh, well, you're a hater and all that kind of stuff. You're close-minded, and they're going to turn it totally around and bring it back against us.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's interesting, though, because that sin's no different than anger.
No.
Or resentment.
No. That's right.
For them to sit
right
here with us, we're all sitting in sin.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's where we fall short, is we see the physical. Mm-hmm. Is again, the soul versus the spirit. So once we can put on the spirit... Mm-hmm. But man, is that difficult to discuss those things out.
Now, here we come to the final reason for doing what we've done here today. You know, we've been talking about this for really months, you know, about changing our thinking, changing the way we talk. And the key to it is exactly what we've done with the Word of God today. We've opened the Word and we begin to read. We begin to just take it and read it, and we've applied it. Mm-hmm. We haven't just read it and said, okay, I read my portion of Scripture for today. We read it, but we have read it so that the understanding of it comes into us. That's what Paul was praying for. So that, what's happening to us? As we talk, our minds are being tuned back into the things of the Spirit. They're being tuned into the things that God says. And you said it too, that there were times that just so much of it was going on, it was just causing a swimming going on in your head, Sonia. And I know what that's like. And that's why we meditate.
And it was all confirmation. And
yeah.
It was all confirmation.
That's right.
This one and that
comes,
and that.
That's
and
right.
It's just,
we just keep meditating on these things, and they become life in us. They become the way we live. They become the way we stand, the way we think. That's the whole reason for doing what we've done today. Just take the word, just like you would do it at home, and just talk about it, mutter it. You ever mutter the word?
Mm-hmm.
Just sit there and just mutter it back and forth and think about it and let the Lord speak to you and say what he says and then say something else and see that and begin to apply it. And when you see something where it's a command, stop for a second and say, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. I'll do that. I believe that. I'll do it that way. I'll walk that way. Yes, I'll be rooted and built up in him. I'm established in my faith. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. That's the fact. That's the truth. In him is truth. His word is truth. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got a feeling I've got a group here that we could go on longer, but I don't want to take advantage of anybody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, today we've delved into your word just to let it talk to us, to say what it says. And Lord, we have received the things of the word of God. You said the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. I believe today, Father, that there has been spiritual discernment in this house. I believe that you have spoken to us by the Spirit, and through the Spirit we have grown. And Lord, there has been a rooting and a establishing in us today. There has been a grounding in us today that's teaching us how to walk in these things that we believe and these things that we say. Lord, not just confession, but confession with action. We thank you and praise you for teaching us today by the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands in the air right now and just receive the blessing of God. Shalom. Now Yahweh will bless you. He will keep you. He will make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. He will lift you up in the light of his countenance and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. And everybody that received it said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.